Magician. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We present for your enjoyment Chan Du, the Magician. And before our drama begins, we would like to suggest that probably you will like White King better than any other soap you have ever used. If you have a washing machine, listen. Get some White King from your grocer. Put some in your washer. Not so much, mind you, as the soap you've been using. Put in your clothes. Put in the water, but not so hot as the water you thought you had to have to get things clean. Then turn on the power. Run your wash through and just see with your own eyes what happens. We try to make this radio drama thrilling, but honestly, what a thrill you'll have when you see clothes washed with this different kind of soap. Save on your soap bill. Save on your gas bill. Save on your clothes bill. You'll say, I love White King granulated soap. Chandler nor Dorothy know of Betty's plan to accompany Abdallah the storyteller on an expedition into the Egyptian desert to seek her missing father. Confident that when she has brought him back, her mother and Chandler will understand, Betty has made an excuse to be left at the hotel on the edge of the desert. Chandler, Dorothy, and Bob have returned to the pyramid. There, in a small room, they have at last met the mysterious Princess Naji. Chandu. The Magician.
Tell me, Naji, where were you when you sent that message?
Near the hut at the edge of the Nile. And when I came to it, he was there.
Not Roxor.
Yes, indeed. For one little moment, I was so filled with terror I could think of nothing but to call to you for help.
I'm glad you did. And even more so that you didn't need me after all.
It is much too soon to say that, Chandu. But may I speak plainly?
Why, yes. Except that...
Oh, Frank, wait. Let me ask her. Naji, do you know whether my husband is alive?
It is possible. Oh. But even of that, I cannot be certain.
Isn't there any way of finding out?
Perhaps. When Chandu and I have spoken together...
Very well. We'll go outside.
How many rooms are there in this pyramid anyway, Uncle Frank?
We know of three, Bob, and there may be others, not discovered since they were sealed up thousands of years ago.
With mummies in them?
Yes, possibly.
Well, come on, Bob, come on.
Yeah, here, Bob, take the flashlight.
Oh, yes. Wandering around in the dark inside a pyramid.
Can I look anywhere, Uncle Frank?
Anywhere you can find a passageway.
Well, if we get lost, we'll send up a rocket.
Call me as soon as you can, Frank.
I will, Doc.
And listen to me. Whatever you two know or even guess about Robert, don't try to keep it from me. I'd rather know the truth, no matter what it is.
Very well, Dorothy.
Whoa, there's a place here that's not tall.
Hold the flashlight so I can see where I'm going, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm right here. I guess I was wrong about the sound, though. Everything sounds funny in here.
Yes, doesn't it?
Oh, I guess this is the room Uncle Frank meant in here.
I suppose so.
Hey, look at the paintings on the walls. Red and gold and blue. And I guess those people are slaves kneeling down with baskets on their heads. Oh, Mom, you're not even looking. It isn't every day you get to see stuff that was painted 5,000 years ago. Look, there's a gold throne with a king.
I'll be glad to get out of here and never see anything like this again.
Golly, I won't. This place kind of gets you, don't you think? Oh, I'm sorry. I ought to know you can't think of anything but Dad.
I know he can't be very real to you, son, but I'm sure Naji knows something about him.
Yeah. I'd sure like to know what cooks with her.
What?
Well, you know, Uncle Frank said first she was supposed to be a sorceress.
Oh, all these mysterious hints.
Well, she'll probably tell you pretty soon, or Uncle Frank will. So why don't you sit down on this stone thing and relax? I wonder what it was used for.
Well, let's see. Perhaps it was once an altar. A pagan altar.
Hey, could be.
It's too bad Betty couldn't come with us. She'd have loved all this.
Sure. And in 1 minute she'd be saying, just imagine this room all set for a secret ceremony with Egyptian kings and queens standing around, loaded down with gold and jewels, and servants holding up torches. And maybe the mummy was a beautiful girl.
The mummy? Oh, Bob.
Well, you know she would.
I suppose so. I hope she's feeling better by this time.
Oh, she'll be okay.
If I hadn't known she had a headache last night, though, I'd have thought she was just making an excuse this morning.
Not to come with us, you mean?
Yes. She had an odd look on her face, as if she were bursting to tell me something.
Huh?
You know, the way she looks before Christmas with with secrets to keep. She didn't say anything to you, did she, Bob?
Uh-uh. Anyway, why wouldn't she want to come? She loves this stuff. Say, look up there. There's smoke on the ceiling.
What?
Or what used to be smoke. See how black it is?
Oh, you're right. Smoke from torches that went out 5,000 years ago. Bob, I can't sit here any longer.
Well, there's no place else to go. Unless you want to prowl around like the troops of Midian.
Let's walk down the corridor.
Okay.
I know what we'll do. We'll go right outside the pyramid and wait.
All right. If we can get that door open.
At least we can try. I can't stay in this place another minute.
That sent me to the yogi in India, Nazi.
I am glad. He is so wild, that one. Sometimes when I am impatient, I almost envy him his peaceful valley with its watching mountains and the lotus flowers on the lake.
Impatient and envious? No. Not you.
At times, yes. Oh, I hope to go again to that valley.
But the yogi is not there now.
Not there?
No, he told me he was going to the higher place. You know what he meant.
Tibet. The inner council.
Yes.
Chandu, you might have been one of them.
In time. But suddenly, there in India, I began to feel that something was calling me back to America. And then in the crystal, I saw the dark cloud that overhung my sister's house.
Need you have given up so much to go to her?
I had to, Naji. Or feel as if I were cooperating with all the forces of evil.
Does she know what this means to you?
No. No, I sometimes think she half believes I'm with the Secret Service. But she can't know of my real work.
Nor of her husband?
No, he never told her.
Nothing of the great discovery he hoped to make?
He did make it, Naji. More than 9 years ago.
No.
But no one knew it. Dorothy locked up his rooms after he went away the last time, and they were never opened again. Until I went back.
Not when he was believed dead?
No. I still don't know what the discovery was. We found instructions that the drawings and formulas were to be destroyed at once, if Robert died.
9 years. It is not long, even as men count time. And yet, how long to expect this secret to remain hidden?
If only I'd known of it. Well, it was stolen, and we must go on from there.
And you have become Chandu, and have received the emerald casket from the yogi himself.
You know that. Yes, he did give it to me.
So we will defeat Roxor. He is the very incarnation of evil.
I'm sure of that. But what does he want?
No one can be sure. But you and I both know of the vicious force which has lifted its head in the world.
Only too well.
I believe Roxor is behind it all. He is insane for power, as Hitler was, but with more cunning. He has convinced himself the world must bend to his will. So many men have.
Yes, I know. We saw you in the crystal.
But, Chandu, you do not know what Mustafa has done.
Mustafa? He's a member of the Brotherhood.
No longer. He has betrayed us for Roxor's promise to make him rich.
Was that the reason you thought Roxor might be hiding here? Did Mustafa dare to tell anyone about this meeting place?
Yes, Chandu. And now Mustafa has sworn his last false oath. You understand?
But, Naji, we must give up this room. We can't meet here if Roxor knows about it. What if he came through the secret door and hid in one of the passageways?
He could not have come before yesterday, and he did not come here then. I hid myself well and watched all day.
Well, why didn't you tell me when I came here looking for you?
Because at first, in the darkness, you were only footsteps. I thought I had caught Roxor in my trap. But then when I had come down from the small room, you were gone.
I see. Well, there's one good thing about all this. If he does come here thinking we don't expect him...
You might meet him face to face.
I'd like nothing better.
But there is one very odd thing, too, Chandu.
What's that?
Today, before you arrived, I found something most curious.
Oh?
In the outer corridor, where the statues of the old Egyptian priests sit on both sides...
Yes, I know.
There is one empty niche.
Yes?
In that niche, this morning... I found the impression of a man's body in the dust.
Nadji, are you sure?
If you doubt me, look what I have rolled up in my handkerchief.
What is it? Well, it looks like tobacco.
Brown flakes of tobacco. In the niche where a man had seated himself. To wait, perhaps for you, for me.
But if you were here all day yesterday and... Did you search all the rooms we know? This morning, I mean.
Yes, yes, and found nothing else. But this I know... Tobacco is of today, not of 5,000 years ago. Whoever it was sitting so patiently among the statues...
The psychic summons.
We are to see the yogi again, from his high place in the mountains. Chandu, can you receive the message without your crystal?
Right. I have it here. Now blow out the candles.
Conditions in this ancient place must be particularly favorable for receiving a message... Yes, the picture is forming already. But it is not India, Chandu.
No. It looks like the hotel.
Mena House. Oh, this is most strange.
Hot sun and breathless heat. Well, why should I see Mena House only a short distance away?
Oh, and what a feeling of ill omen darkens the crystal. Oh,
there's a Bedouin in the clothes of a sheikh, dressed for a festival. Gold cloak, blue robe and all. He's helping an Arab girl into a car.
Why should such a girl be visiting Mena House alone without an older woman?
And what can it have to do with us?
Not horses, not camels. A motor car.
It's coming toward us. Closer. Closer. It's almost upon us. Dorothy! Bob! Come here! We must go! Hurry!
What is it, Chandu? Please, what is it?
Of course you couldn't know. You've never seen her. The girl in that car is Betty.
Come to a close until tomorrow night. But there's drama and maybe magic in millions of homes where White King soap is used. Once upon a time, people thought they should buy two or three kinds of soap. One for a washing machine, a dishpan, maybe one or two for dainty things like lingerie and stockings. But more and more people discovered White King, the one and only one soap you ever need. No matter who you are, where you live, or what you have to wash. Your husband may be an engineer, or he may work in a bank. You may have sheets and pillowcases no end to wash. Or you may live in a hotel with no laundering problem other than your nylons. Listen to these wonderful words. White King gets out the stubbornest dirt. White King protects as with a caress the daintiest fabrics. Know what you'll say, do you? You'll say this. I love White King. Chandu the Magician is based on an original radio drama created by Harry A. Earnshaw and is written by Vera Oldham. The makers of White King invite you to listen tomorrow at this time when the story resumes. Chandu, the Magician. John Lee Broadcasting System.